If you're running a business right now, you're playing a game where the rules keep changing. Trade tensions, economic uncertainty, culture wars, the world is rapidly changing around us. And companies, especially independent and local businesses, are having to adapt faster than ever. That's why Mission Critical is evolving. We're diving deep with the founders, CEOs, and entrepreneurs who are navigating this chaos in real time. The ones making the tough calls, pushing through unpredictability, and proving that resilience isn't just a buzzword, it's a survival skill. How do you scale in an economy that feels like it's on shaky ground? What happens when US policy shifts send shockwaves through Canadian industries? And in a world where diversity, healthcare, and economic resilience are becoming battlegrounds, how do businesses double down instead of backing down? These are the real conversations that matter to business leaders right now. I'm Lance Chung, and this is Mission Critical. Let's get into it.
Teresa, how are you?
Great.
We just finished a wonderful photo shoot. You're a natural in front of the camera. You looked amazing. I love also this fit. This jacket is beautiful. And we're matching a little bit today, too.
Right? It's good. We're in good company, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm so excited for our chat. You know, you're leading the first international WNBA franchise, which is so exciting, the Toronto Tempo. What does this moment really represent for you personally, but also for Canada as an opportunity?
Yeah, like you said, this is the very first endeavor of the WNBA outside of the United States. So we're so excited that it's Canada. So excited to be here in Toronto, but we're Canada's team. Like you said, like this is something that's never been done before. Even the Raptors and the Blue Jays, you know, they weren't always Canada's team, right? We had the Grizzlies, we had the Expos. So it's incredible to be able to start as Canada's team and really plant our flag before we even have a single player that we represent an entire country.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the question about, you know, justifying like the, or validating women's sports, that's like well beyond, like we're well past
that. We're well past that.
But right. What do you think is like this new frontier of the conversation that we're having around women's sports? Like we're already well past validating and well past talking about women's sports and like the need for women's sports and the demand in the business. But what do you think is the next conversation and the most important conversation that we should be having in this dialogue and this cultural moment right now?
It's funny you ask that because there is this bubble that I live in, right? I'm a president of a WNBA team. I follow women's sports. I follow Just Women's Sports. I follow The Gist. I follow Together. All these different sites and media that cover women's sports specifically, which you know didn't exist 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I forget there's still a lot of people in the world that don't follow it and maybe never heard of it, aren't exposed to it because of their life and who they surround themselves with. So yes, the conversation has moved forward, but we still have to make sure that people understand the value of women's sports. This isn't a charity, this is good business, and it's been proven to be that. Yeah. And that's why we have to continue to remind people of that or expose people for the first time. And I think that's something we always have to remember within this industry is that there's a lot of people who are new to this still, and they might not understand all the nuances or how it's an incredible business and the return on investment is so strong and that it's the fastest growing youth participation sport. All these different factors that make it good business. And the next conversation for those who are ready for it is how do we optimize it, right? So big barrier for women's sports is infrastructure. So where are you playing games? Where are you practicing? So investing in those, making sure that they have the best schedule so that we can get the marquee times and prime time so we can have the best broadcast. All those things go hand in hand. It's an entire ecosystem. It's an entire flywheel. Yeah. All those things influence the others to make it go.
Yeah, yeah. We're obviously in a very exciting year right now and next year even more exciting. But what are you excited about within the next 5 years? Like where would you like to see the Toronto Tempo and also just the culture at in the next 5 years?
I mean, it's incredible that you say 5 years because I think about where the league was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago, we were in a global pandemic and the league had to make a decision if they were going to play in the bubble or not. They're the first ones because they started in May. And ultimately, it was a make or break of the league, right? It wasn't just the team. So at that moment, that's where the league was at that point. Like, do we play this season or do we not and potentially don't have a league because we don't know what the ramifications are necessarily going to be? And that was only 5 years ago. So can you imagine, like, knowing where women's sports, specifically the WNBA and the tempo mm-hmm. is today, what it's going to look like in 5 years? There's a lot of things that will probably happen that we won't even be able to project. But what I do know is it is on an incredible trajectory in both fandom, in revenue. Also, the product on the court is continually getting better and better, stronger, skilled. So I don't know. I can't even predict where it's going to be in 5 years. All I know is that I want to be there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a huge moment in history. And given that it's the first international franchise, you're building something that doesn't have any precedent here, or I guess anywhere, because it's the first international one. How do you lead differently when the rules necessarily haven't been written yet? Or how are you also taking from your past experiences to build something incredible and something new here?
Yeah, so I mean, the great thing about the WNBA is, like, it has existed. So it's the longest running team sport for women at the professional level of any. There's, mm-hmm. you know, there's tennis, there's LPGA, but a team sport, it's 30 years. So mm-hmm. we're not building from scratch. We yeah. have incredible, there's women, incredible teams that have paved the way for us to be here today. So we definitely look at that and learn from that. But like we talked about earlier, is the WNBA is in a very different spot today than it was even 5 years ago. So we also have to pave the new path. And as you said, being the first team out of America, being in Canada, there's all these like little nuances that make it different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not better or worse, it's just different. And embracing those and using that as something that can make us stand apart from the others is something we really look forward to doing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, launching a franchise in 2025 comes with a lot of tools and pressures that, you know, from your previous experience with the Raptors and just in general, we're not around and, you know, it's a very different landscape. And then also we've had a pandemic too. There's also social media, streaming platforms, influencer culture. What do you think is kind of the new and exciting opportunities that the Tempo can leverage in the landscape with different levers and tools and things to really hype up the culture?
Yeah, I mean, professional sports has changed significantly in the last couple of years, especially because of the NIL, mm-hmm. name, image, and likeness that has permeated college sports. You know, college is really the feeder system for the WNBA. And now all these athletes are having a very great and deep understanding of their value, and they're already optimizing it. So when they come to the league now, they're already an established brand. That wasn't happening before. And that unlocks so much potential for us to talk to fans more directly. Our fans then know our players, and our players are also, you just feel better connected, right? Mm-hmm. You know their stories, you feel better connected. And the WNBA has had some of the greatest stories in all of sports that just have never been told or never heard by the audience that it can reach. So I'm really excited to be able to pull some of those levers that now exist that didn't before in order to tell the story, because that's how people are gonna fall in love with us, right? Yeah. Think about, why does something resonate with you? It's because you have a connection to it. You somehow feel part of it. You feel moved by it. That doesn't happen if you don't know who you're a fan of and who you're cheering for. So we can't wait to tell the stories of the Toronto Tempo players that we will get very soon.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, when we talk about fandoms, it's so much more than like the wins and losses on the courts. It is so much about community, about identity, even like to an extent like activism too. How do you see sports fans and women's sports fans engaging differently than they might with men's? Or do you see a difference?
Yeah, of course it's different. I mean, the fan base is significantly different between men's and women's sports, and even between men's and women's basketball. You know, the WNBA in and of itself is a social statement, and mm-hmm. it's always been a big part of the league and who is represented on the court, and I believe that will be continued here in Canada. It's really interesting to learn about our fans. Like we said before, it's never happened here in Canada, so we're understanding now a little bit who's bought our merchandise, right? So we've had people purchase from every single province in Canada and multiple countries. We have depositors who have put down deposits for season seats, and now we're starting to talk to them as we convert. And we're talking to every single one because we thought that was really important that we actually make a connection with all of our fans and the people that are going to be coming to the games. So it's been really great to start to understand who these people are that have this connection to this team that don't even have any players and haven't played a game yet. And it's going to be really interesting to continue to see who those fans are and how they grow and evolve with this team as we start to have wins and losses.
Yeah. Since the announcement was made that the, like, around Toronto Tempo and around the WNBA expansion, what has been the most interesting learning that you've, up until now, that you've kind of gleaned from the community and from just your work that you weren't necessarily expecting heading into it?
I don't know if it's necessarily anything surprising, but I knew this was going to be well supported, but it's even blown my expectations out of the water. In the actionable ways of just, investing in us by buying a piece of merchandise or putting down a deposit for tickets. But then also, like, anecdotally, like, I was just at a Blue Jays game and I was sitting up high, but I could see from up high that there was a person, looked like an adult man, pretty tall, sitting right behind the dugout, and he was wearing a Blue Tempos hoodie. You know, and like to see that is pretty cool, and to understand that. And like I said, I knew that we were going to be well supported, but it's blown all my expectations out of the water.
Yeah. I mean, Canada has been, you know, exporting top basketball talent for so many years, and we have such a vibrant basketball culture. And now for the first time, our players have a team to come home to as well outside of the Raptors. How do you see that reshaping, or this moment reshaping the Canadian basketball story and narrative and history?
Yeah, you know, this winter I had a chance to go to a screening of a movie that was filmed about the first 30 years of the Raptors. And it was really poignant because in that moment, we were launching the Tempo. We had literally just launched the name probably the week before. And sitting in that and like watching what the Raptors has happened over the last 30 years, being part of the last 10 years and understanding we're at day one was pretty incredible. And I think you can look and see what that has done for the country and how it's impacted basketball. Like you said, on the men's side, you have, what did you say? Exporting great talent. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the MVP of the league, he's Canadian, and Steve Nash, Canadian. So like there's a lot going on there, and I see that 100% happening on the women's side. There's already incredible talent. The national team has represented this country so well in so many international games, and that talent is now going to have a place to play at home, right? So there's already Canadians in the league. There's only going to be more. And, you know, I can't wait to see, right? That's something that you can't necessarily pinpoint and say, this exactly is going to happen. But the fact that we exist, it's that saying, you know, if you can see it, you can be it. Nobody's ever seen it on Canadian soil before, and they're going to have a chance to now. So I think the fact that we exist is going to impact a lot of people, and it's going to be interesting to see how that shows up in a couple years.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about, like, you know, the opportunities that are ahead of us in terms of the Tempo and the WNBA expanding, but what do you think is the biggest challenge that you have ahead
of
you?
Yeah, I already mentioned it is infrastructure. Yeah. 100%. You look at all the facilities that exist that have been built primarily for men's sports across all the leagues, hockey, baseball, basketball, football, all these sports, it's been built for men. So what does that look like for women? They're the tenant, they're the second tier. So like we'll know that women's sports has really gotten to the next stage when there's purpose-built, whether it's a practice facility or a playing arena for women's sports. That takes a lot of capital. That takes a lot of commitment from a lot of people, not just one person. And we'll see, it's happening here and there. You know, Kansas City has a soccer stadium that was built specifically for women. The expansion team in soccer, NWSL Denver Summit, is building one. So it'll be interesting to see how that continues. But ultimately, the infrastructure is the biggest barrier. And I think as it evolves, will be the biggest thing that will help us really reach our full potential in women's sports.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me also, what is your favorite aspect of your job right now?
Oh, my favorite aspect is it's never the same. Every single minute is different. The people, the team that we're building is incredible. Like a year ago, there was five of us. Today, there's almost 30. And each one of them is so motivated, so committed, and so smart. Surround yourself with people that are smarter than you. Man, and I'm doing that. So it's really energizing every single day.
And what are the stories that you're hearing on the ground in terms of the community? You mentioned, like, you know, your people are buying merch across all the provinces, not just Ontario and just Toronto. What are some of the bits of feedback and stories and overall excitement that you're seeing from the community?
Yeah, it's been incredible. We've run Tempo Live events in Toronto, in Vancouver. We have them coming up in Montreal, and it's been incredible to see how well received we've been in the community. They're just really excited. You know, I think everybody's asking, when are you going to get players? When are you going to hire a head coach? So it's good to have people on the edge of their seats excited about what's happening next.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much, Teresa.
No,
I really enjoyed
it. Yeah.
This is such a fun day. Got to take lots of fun photos and get to actually talk to you a bit more. And, you know, we had you at our summit as well, and that was such a wonderful experience working with you. And we're just so excited for everything that you and your team are building. And I think the rest of Canada is also, the rest of the world, I think, is just so, so excited to see what is being built. And I think a lot of people rooting for the success of everything coming down the road.
Yeah, we definitely feel really supported. And I've said it over and over again, like, we have an incredible opportunity here, but in order to optimize it, the Tempo cannot be the only one telling our story. So thanks for telling our story as well, because that's important. If we really want to succeed, we need more than just the team telling our story. And great stories like storytellers like yourself are very much appreciated. So thanks for having me.
It's our joy to be able to. Thank you so much, Teresa.
You got it.
That's a wrap on this episode of Mission Critical. If today's conversation gave you something to think about, do me a favor. Subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Big ideas are meant to be shared, and the best insights only matter if they're put into action. Until next time, stay sharp, stay curious, and go and make something happen. I'm Lance Chung, and this is Mission Critical.